Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6. Book of Wisdom advises us to be diligent. 6:6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which have no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come, as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. We'll take it that far. Father, we thank thee for this time of worship. We thank thee for the brethren we can come together with of like precious faith. We pray that you bless the Sunday school classes this morning. We pray for the children's needs to come to Christ at an early age, to grow in grace. We pray for Ben as he fills in there in Butler. We pray for the word as it goes forth, and Steve's traveling with safety. And Father, bless this day. Bless our worship to be in spirit and in truth. And speak to our hearts through thy word as we wait upon thee. Thank thee for the privilege and the freedom we have. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we have an example from creation. And God, of course, is the author of creation. And so it's good to read the book of wisdom in creation. And his eternal power and Godhead are clearly seen. One of the interesting things about the creatures is that the fact that God made them. That's a simple statement. God designed them. And so he made the little ant, you know. And he programmed them, to, if you will. And it's quite amazing, all the things that God has made. And let's go to the book of Job, chapter 12, where you have a general statement along this line that you can learn from the things that God has made. Job chapter 12, verse 7. And you have a lot of references in the Bible to different creatures. In fact, we'll see it in Proverbs. We'll see the lion. He doesn't turn away from any. There's certain that go stately, the greyhound. And notice here in Job 12, 7, it says, "But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee." Verse 8, "And or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee." So it's amazing to consider these things that God has made. And let's notice in Job 35:11. It's amazing what he has made and the lessons there. 35:11. "Who teacheth us more than the beasts of the earth and maketh us wiser than the fowls of heaven." Now, there is a great contrast between man and the animals. In fact, you may recall in the beginning when God created man, he created him last, and then he created the woman. And he brought all the animals to the man, to Adam, to see what he would name them. And in the Bible, a name sizes up one, and it characterizes them. So he had great intelligence to be able to look at them and know something of their nature and give them an appropriate name. Now, we're looking at the ant this morning, back in Proverbs 6:6. "Go to the ant, the thou sluggard." Now, we're going to look at that sluggard later. And the sluggard, by the way, as related to the word, is weight and dullness, the fundamental thought there. "And consider her ways and be wise." Consider the ways of the ant. Now, the most obvious thing that you would consider about an ant is what? They're on the move, aren't they? They're, you don't see lazy ants. And so they are unwearied. They seemingly unplanned labor, but and they have an active and emotion that's always there. And it's unperceived. You don't hear it, you know. And but you see it. And so wisdom involves action. Application of knowledge involves action. God doesn't want us just to sit back. And I was going to say on our laurels, you know that phrase. That means your press victories and you sit back. God wants us to be active. There are things to do. And, you know, a person might think, well, I don't know that I can do it well enough. And so, you know, you can be guilty of something. That's a sin of omission by not doing what God has called us to do. So wisdom includes diligence and it includes industry. In fact, man was meant to work, and you have that in the scriptures, even before the fall, man was a gardener. And he didn't do it with the sweat of his brow at that point, but he worked. So go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, be wise. Learn something here from the action of the ant. And notice in verse 7, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, or food in the summer. So it doesn't have any guide, or Kyle and Dela rendered that judge or director. And so they don't seem to be organized, but then they work together. If you've ever noticed an ant, they can carry an object quite a bit larger than themselves. But if they can't, then you get a bunch of ants and they work together and they're pulling something along. And it's interesting to watch. So, but they don't seem to have any leader, yet they get the job done. So they're diligent about it. Now, what do? They provide or they prepare their meat in the summer and they gather their food or their store in the harvest. And so there's industry here. The ant stores up. Does the ant have the intelligence? Does the ant think, I'm storing up? I doubt it. But the ant has the instinct put into it by God to do this. And let's go to Proverbs 30 and verse 25. In that sense, the ant is smarter than man sometimes. Man doesn't foresee. You remember, wisdom looks ahead. It anticipates. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 25, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. And so they don't seem to have strength, but they prepare, they store up. And let's go to Proverbs 10, verse 5. So wisdom is seen in this. Proverbs 10:5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. You might recall Joseph, that was a unique thing. He had the revelation from God that there would be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine, but he stored up in the years of plenty. So there, the book of Proverbs, when it comes to material things, there are several things touched upon. In fact, the Bible touches on these things. When it comes to money or material things, how you earn it, how you give it, and then how you save it. And, of course, how you spend it, those things. And so how you earn it, how you save it, how you spend it, how you give it. And here you see that saving is advocated. Now, it does warn against, you remember the rich man, soul, thou hast much goods for many years, I'll tear down my barns and build greater. And he's not rich toward God, and he doesn't think about eternity. So a person can go too far with that concept, but surely there's prudence in saving for a rainy day, because a rainy day will come in life, you know. And so he's preparing his meat in the summer, gathering for the harvest. Now, I want to make a general application on this. Diligence is not contrary to faith. And it's possible, you've heard the phrase, to be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good, you know, where you don't have your feet on the ground, so to speak, to be able to handle and manage the things of this life. Well, there's not a contradiction between spirituality and good stewardship. In fact, good stewardship is an expression of spirituality. And Jesus, he compared it this way when it comes to money. He says, if you're not faithful in that which is little, are you going to be faithful in much, which is the spiritual riches, for instance, souls? And so he that is faithful in little will be faithful in much. You have certain divine principles there. So the danger, of course, is the love of money is the root of all evil, not money. And so there's a due diligence that needs to be there. Now, I want to carry this over to another area, because it's a legitimate application. You know, the principles that you have in the physical realm of God's creation parallel with the principles in the spiritual world. In fact, you have a lot of comparisons with sowing and reaping, for instance. You know, the farmer, he goes out, he plows the field, he sows the seed, he waits for the harvest. And spiritually, we do that, right? You go out, you sow the seed of the Word of God, you look to God for the harvest. And so you have the same principle. Still takes work, still takes a waiting. There's patience involved. So in the spiritual realm, when it comes to diligence, there's a whole lot the Bible has to say about it. If I could apply this thought. And I think sometimes there's a wrong thinking along this line, and I realize there can be activity to the point of neglect of one's soul, like Martha, you know, the story in Luke 10, cumbered about many things. But there is activity that is right, and we can't neglect the sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing His word, and there certainly needs to be the intake, or we have nothing to give. But wouldn't it be a sad scenario, like, for instance, Peter, he's up on the mountain there with Peter, James, and John, and the Lord is there. Moses and Elijah were there, and Lord, it's good for us to be here. We'd like to stay. We'd like to just stay on the mountaintop. No, their souls down below, and so there's work to do, and there's a need to reach them. And so there's a diligence that's involved. We're in the warfare, aren't we? And we're in an age where God is plucking brands out of the fire, and He's taking out a group of people for His name. And so it's good to be about our Father's business, like Jesus said. In fact, Jesus went about doing good. And now that's a very concise statement about a life that was very active. Paul said, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me. And now what areas are we to be diligent if we would apply this spiritually? Let's go to Romans chapter 12. You have a couple passages on this. In Romans chapter 12, you know, usually a person is diligent on their job, right? They get up, they go, they clock in or whatever. And in the spiritual realm, maybe there's not as much accountability, or we don't think there is. So there may be, it's possible to lack. Well, notice these exhortations. Romans 12:11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now that's talking about the Lord's business in the context. Not slothful in it. I remember going to the Cleveland Zoo, and you have this sloth. It's an interesting animal, but you have to have some patience if you're going to wait for any activity there. And because he doesn't move very much. It's not that God created that animal. Well, surely there's a lesson in that animal, the sloth. So be not slothful, slow to move in business. There's work to do. And let's read in Romans 12:12. It says, the day at night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore, I'm in the wrong chapter, 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant or diligently in prayer. Oh, that's a big need, isn't it? There's a lot to pray for. Intercessory prayer. That's a ministry in itself. There's power in that. That's needed. If anything is needed in the church today, that's needed. And so we need to be diligent in prayer. Give ourselves to prayer. Now, along with that, and that's a spiritual exercise, isn't it? That takes the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, I'm not talking about doing these things in the flesh or some legalistic way, but surely, energized by the Holy Spirit, God can give us grace to be diligent in prayer. And much prayer, much power. And that's always true. And it'll just about equal, you know, what our prayer life is like, what our spiritual lives are like. Now, how about the Word of God? Let's go to the book of 2 Timothy on this one. 2 Timothy 2. Talks about laboring in the word and doctrine or teaching in 1 Timothy 5:17. There's a labor involved. 2 Timothy 2:15. This is really addressing teachers here. Or anybody handling the word of God in any capacity. It's a weighty responsibility. Study. And the word means give all diligence to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You've heard of the man that says, well, I don't study. I get my messages digging post holes or something like that. You know, in other words, I'm busy doing some other things and the message comes to me. Well, I'm not saying a message doesn't, God doesn't lay on the heart. Sometimes He will. But that doesn't mean you don't study for it too, right? You know, where you dig in and you give all diligence, because there's a great accountability involved in handling the Word of God. And we want to be more than concordance preachers. You know what I mean by that? You can look up the verses. Here they are. We need to feed on the Word. In fact, it's like a meal that the lady has prepared. If it's prepared well, everything's cooked just right, and it's all hot at the same time, and there it is. You know, it's not a cold potato, you know, that she gives to you, and here's the slab of meat, do what you will with this. No, there's some preparation. That's the way it is with the message. You've already thought it through. You've already digested it, and so it can be fed upon. Let's go to 2 Timothy 4. Now, here's a diligence, not just in the study, but in the preaching of it. And I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant or diligent, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And so, can a preacher call up everybody in the morning? Sorry, couldn't get the message together today. Come back next week. Doesn't work that way. And so, in season, out of season, regardless of what the circumstances, just constantly in the Word of God going out. And let's go on, verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So, get the gospel out there. We've had encouragement recently. You know, with knocking on doors, you don't see a lot of results. But when you do, it's very encouraging. And there's a man, Harold Murray. He'll probably come today again. And he's been looking for a church for a year. But he's very grateful. We knocked on his door. And that was true with Joanne Shoup. Valerie and Song Wei called on her. So she's their prize. And she said, I wish you'd have come sooner. And so it motivates you, you know, to get out there. But do the work. Get out there. Be diligent. What if you didn't do it? You wouldn't see any results. And so you have to sow. If you're going to sow the seed, you're going to see some fruit. If you don't sow anything, you're not going to reap anything. So, and of course, with witnessing, be ready always to give an answer. The hope that lies within you with meekness and fear. Sanctify the Lord your God and be ready always. And take every opportunity. Colossians 4:5 says, redeem the time. But actually in the Greek that means buy up the opportunity. And it's talking about the opportunity of souls, because it says walk in wisdom towards those that are outside. Buying up the opportunity. God gives opportunities, doesn't he? As he does, can you put that off? I'll get to that. Well, if you don't get to it, God will probably get somebody else to get to it, but we want to be diligent in it. So these are areas where God tells us be diligent. Romans 12:8, he that ruleth, do it with diligence, administrative gifts. So in the work of the Lord, we want to be like the ant. And again, I don't mean to say be busy to the neglect of a spiritual devotional life, because that won't work. But if we're getting the intake, we're going to want to reach souls, aren't we? We're going to want to reach out to God's people. We're going to want to be faithful to what God has called us to do. And nothing small in the work of the Lord. Okay, let's go on in the book of Proverbs. Well, I wanted to make that application before we go on now to the sluggard. Now you can decide which category you're in, the ant or the sluggard. And Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 9. We don't want to be in this category. I trust we have ants here because you're here early in the morning for Sunday school. Verse 9. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, thy want as an armed man. Now, to contrast here, it's an attempt to awaken the sluggard. And you remember back in verse 6, it says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Again, it's a person who there's weight there, there's dullness there. That's a fundamental thought here with the sluggard. And how long without sleep? How long are you going to lie down and yet a little sleep? You have the thought of when wilt thou arise out of sleep? And then here's the thinking. Rationalizing, procrastinating, a little sleep, a little slumber, little folding of the hands. We've all done that, literally speaking. Have you done that? and you have a snooze button, you know, just a little bit more, a little bit more. And so your poverty may come, maybe either physical poverty or spiritual poverty. But how long wilt thou sleep? So it's a contrast of laziness here with the ant. And now you have some fundamental thoughts behind this, that man is to work, as we touched on, even after the fall. Man was to make his bread from the sweat of his brow. There really is no easy way. People look for some easy, get-rich-quick way. And that's, I don't believe that's God's will. If a man shall not work, neither shall he eat. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. In the same context, we are to, with quietness, to work and eat our own bread. 3:12 of 2 Thessalonians. So that's God's will. Now, when it comes to the sluggard, there's several things to note about him, and let's do something of a comprehensive study on this. Please go to Proverbs 26:14. You have a cluster of verses here on the sluggard. Verse 13. The slothful man saith, "There's a lion in the way, a lion in the streets." In other words, he has preposterous excuses. Probably not a lion in the streets. Now, there might have been over in that part of the world at that time. But the point is, there's a reason I can't do it. And you can always think up reasons that you can't do it, right? And so, there we see the tendency to make excuses. Okay, and then verse 14. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the sluggard upon his bed. So he seems to be given to that. And that's another kind of a comical picture, you know, you're flipping, flopping in bed there. It's like a door on its hinges, you know. As it gets a little longer here, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise? You're just going to turn into another position. And so it's an overindulgence, seems to be the picture there. And then verse 15, the slothful hideth his hand in his bosom, it grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. Now this is quite a sorry picture. And it shows how even when there is that which is provided for him, he doesn't have the initiative to take it. And so he's wasteful, but there's such a lethargy is maybe the word there, and indolence. Let's go to chapter 12, verse, we'll come back to this passage, chapter 12, verse 27, when it comes to this wastefulness of the sluggard. Proverbs 12:27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in honey, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. So, you know, maybe he's got the deer hanging up and he's got the food, but he doesn't even take the effort to butcher it to get the food. And so it's a pretty sorry picture. And also he doesn't finish things. Let's go to Proverbs 18:9. So you have a general picture of wastefulness in some of these passages of the slothful. 18:9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. And you know, God doesn't do that. Remember, Jesus fed the 5,000, and there, I think there was, 12 baskets gathered of the fragments. And that doesn't mean the crumbs. That was the pieces of bread and fish, you know, that weren't eaten. But it tells you something about God. God doesn't waste things. I remember Pastor Ross Paul regarding the church at Chillicothe. I think they had $39,000 in the building. They gave $500,000 to missions over a period of years. A pretty good proportion, wouldn't you say? And he made the comment, well, we made good use of what God gave us. It's always a good motto, you know, individually and as a church. Make good use of what God gave us. It really doesn't matter how much you have. That's not the issue so much. But do we make good use of what we have? We're good stewards of what we have. It's good to be content with whatever God gives, but then he'll hold us accountable. Well, the slothful, he doesn't use it well. Let's go to Proverbs 26:16. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Now, this is typically true when a person's not right. There's not a recognition that they're not right. But here the slothful rationalizes his laziness. And he's wiser in his own conceit. Everybody else is too busy. I'm just conjecturing here. Everybody, look at them. Christians, all this activity. And so he giveth his beloved sleep. You know, you can even quote some passages of scripture on it. But you can go too far with that. And so it's wise to see this issue. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4. Sometimes there's a little bit of difficulty in being diligent. Sometimes the circumstances aren't conducive to it. And notice this, Proverbs 20, verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Now, you know, you may have a snow in the spring, but you've seen farmers out there plowing anyway, right? It's no big thing. They're preparing. They're getting ready. But the sluggard will say, oh, no, I can't do it because of the snow or because of the cold. And so, again, you have reasons not to do it. Now, the sluggard may desire, but then he doesn't have because he doesn't do. Let's go to Proverbs 13:4, and it's a sad scenario. 13:4 says, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. And then one more here on this, 21:25 of Proverbs. 21:25. The desire of the slothful killeth him. For his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. And so he's got the desire, but he's just not going to have anything because he doesn't do. Now, finally, we see that there will be poor results. Now, we saw it we will see it in our present context, that poverty will come. But let's look at some other passages. Proverbs 15:19. 15:19. The way of the slothful man is an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. Now, that can have different meanings, but certainly the hedge of thorns, it isn't, if you look at the lot of that type of man, it isn't going to be well taken care of. In Proverbs 24, verse 30, notice 24:30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. And then notice, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Well, that's a repetition of our passage. Let's go back to it now. So we need to learn, and that passage there tells us you can learn from the ant and you can learn from the sluggard. And what do we learn? Well, notice in our context, chapter 6, verse 9, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep. Now, this is the subtle part about this. It's just a little more. In other words, I can put this off a little bit more. And it's so, since it's a subtle thing by degrees, he doesn't realize what's happening. And again, he's refusing to realize that. He's wise in his own conceits. So it's imperceptible to him what this is leading to. Just a little more, a little more, a little more. And then here's the result, verse 11. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Now, this is one of the things that Proverbs teaches in general. Whatever you sow, you reap. You know, actions are going to have reactions. It's true in physics, right? And so it's true spiritually. It's true in life. So if there's an indulgence like this and a procrastination like this and a laziness like this, then it's going to have inevitable results that it will come. And so there'll be poverty. Now, notice in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, if you will. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. So it's inevitably going to come. Now, how will it come? This is what the proverb tells us back in chapter 6. So shall thy poverty come like one that traveleth, like the highwayman, and thy want like an armed man, a strong robber. In other words, he's armed. He's hard to resist. And so he's like a vagabond, and he's like a bandit. And suddenly, the slothful man awakes to the realization of his inevitable poverty that he can't resist because he didn't do anything about it. You know, when you get to middle age and you get a little above middle age, you begin to think about it. You begin to think about the rainy day. You begin to think about old age, and you begin to plan. You better, right? Well, it's good to think about it in the early days. It's good to think along the spiritual lines, too, to do God's work. The book of Ecclesiastes, before the evil day comes, you know, serve the Lord in your youth. Serve your Creator in your youth before those days come. But the point being, we don't want to get to the place where someday we wake up and we realize, I missed my opportunity. I missed my opportunity in life. Now, I'm not talking about just the physical realm, although this definitely applies to that, you know, where God wants us to be prepared, get a job, make a living, be independent. 2 Thessalonians 3, with quietness, do your own work, eat your own bread. That's God's will. That's a test, part of a testimony as a Christian. But it's true spiritually too, though, isn't it? We want to find our niche and work it. In other words, we want to know what God's called us to do. Do it. And do it with diligence, because there's a payday someday, right? There's an accountability to God someday. So we don't want to wake up and realize I missed my chance. And we do have a free will. That's a scary thing, isn't it? We have a free will. We can choose now. And so we want to assess it and choose well. And before this comes upon us, this type of thing, whether in the physical realm or the spiritual. Now again, let me contrast diligence. And notice in chapter 12, verse 24, Proverbs 12, 24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Again, you have the positive statement of what diligence will do. And we already read, I think, of the diligent soul shall be made fat. So God advocates diligence. And spiritual diligence will bring spiritual riches. And physical and spiritual lethargy will bring spiritual poverty, by the way. You don't have to do anything to go downhill spiritually. That's a scary thought, isn't it? If you coast and you drift, Hebrews 2 warns about that. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. But literally means lest we slip, lest we drift. There's a danger of drifting. It takes a diligence, brethren, to be in the Word, to be in prayer. And it's a daily accumulative thing, isn't it? Where we grow in grace. It's easier to slip down. It's like walking in sand. You can go down real quick, but you can get back up that hill. It's a little bit tougher. And so we want to be diligent if we're going to go anywhere spiritually. And this is all through the Bible. We touched on some of those passages. And when it comes to the Word, when it comes to prayer, when it comes to doing His will. And the spiritual riches will come, both personally and with souls, and the fruit will be there, but not without hard work. There's just certain laws of nature, laws spiritually, that coincide. And so God endorses diligence, hard work. Man was meant to work in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm. And we want to learn from the ant. Now, the ant, of course, is constantly active. And the ant has, in the time of need, because even though I wouldn't say the ant has any, in fact, the passage verse 7 says there's not any direction, there's not any oversight, yet God put that in them to gather their food so that they are all right in the winter. And so, well, we can have the foresight, can't we? We can have the planning. It's good to plan. You know, Jesus talked about if you're going to, in the spiritual realm, if you're going to go against an army, you sit down, do I have enough resources to go against this army? Or if I'm going to build, before you build and can't finish, do I have the resources to finish this? Down where my parents live in Cincinnati, there's a landmark that you can't miss for the turnoff, and it's this huge parking garage. It's next to a great big mall, and it's got all the girders and everything, and they never finished it. And it's probably cost $1 million to take the thing down. So there it stands, this monstrosity. Somebody didn't plan. They didn't think, can I finish this thing? Well, we don't want to be that way. If you want to start something, we have to sit down and assess, can I finish this? Because God is very interested in being diligent to the point where we finish well. And we've completed the will of God, what He has called us to do. So this thing of diligence is all life through. In fact, I remember Pastor Galt Sr. at the end of his life. Now, normally in our society, when you get to a certain age, you retire, right? And I realize a lot of times people's health actually constrained them to do so. Well, he had bone cancer, if you recall, and he was 88 years old. But he never did retire. And he was in that nursing home witnessing to people. He had some young men in. He discipled them. I'm talking about in his dying days. And so it was an example to me. You don't quit in this thing called the ministry. And Pastor Osbaugh, he's the same way, similar mindset. And he's the farmer mindset. You know, it's a 14, 16-hour day. And still at it, reading the Bible 2 or 3 times a year. Many, many hours of prayer and teaching a Bible class. There are always hour and a half Bible classes. But there's a diligence and there's a spiritual depth and season of the grace of God as a result of it. We reap what we sow. So spiritually, it never lets up, right? There's never some point where we can get to and, now I don't have to make much of an effort. No. If anything, it'll be more of an effort, right? If anything, with the capacity by the grace of God that He gives us, we'll go deeper in the Word. We'll go deeper in prayer. We'll be a more faithful witness. We'll be more faithful to give the Word of God out. So I believe, and that's what Paul said. Let me read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in 58. This is in light of the resurrection. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In other words, keep doing more for the Lord. Again, I'm not saying without the grace of God, and there's a need to sometimes, and we'll see this in Proverbs 2, I believe, there you have to be renewed, right? Sometimes there's a time of replenishment, and even Jesus said to His disciples, come aside and rest a while. And although if you follow it, they didn't get much of a chance to because people followed Him out there, you know. That's when He fed the 5,000. And so, but we want to carry through with this thought in life. And in the field that I was in engineering, there was 2 thoughts that comes to my mind in relation to this. One of them was, it's not necessarily touching on this, accuracy was first because so many details. You're dealing with numbers all day long, and if you're off, then the consequences are bad. And so a proof of a design is whether it works. So accuracy was first. One guy had a thing on his table. There's never enough time to do it right the first time. There's always enough time to fix it afterwards. So it's good to get accurate. But if accuracy is there, then production. And that's what the company looks for, production. And not that volume is everything, but surely God is a God of production. You look at it in the Scriptures and be fruitful, multiply. He's looking for a return for what He put into it. And so we want to learn. Learn from the ant, learn from the sluggard, not to fall into that category. Remember the pitfalls here of procrastination, rationalization, neglect of opportunities, waste of that which God gives. And it's not a good picture. And then even conceit, wiser in his own conceits, he doesn't realize. So it's good to look at ourselves. Are there any areas in my life in which I can be more diligent, both the physical and the spiritual? Are there certain things? You know, sometimes there can be more time spent because of things being put off. Isn't it so? You put it off longer. Maybe whatever it is, it gets worse. And so there's a diligence that the Bible advocates, and may God give us grace to fulfill it. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for the blessing of the truth of the Bible, the practicality of wisdom, Help us to apply these things in our lives. And may we be those who are good stewards of our time and gifts and energies and opportunities and be diligent to fulfill what you've called us to do. We thank thee, Father, and for the word of God and bless it to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.